crystal cut. Crystal Kyle is a PhD candidate who's doing an internship with us this summer, and she is going to fill us in a little bit on the Connor Toll House. So, Crystal. Okay. See if you can hear her. If you can't, raise your hands and we'll do more microphones.
Yeah, if you can't hear me, just raise your hand in the back. Is this okay? All right, good. Well, the reason I'm here today is to kind of fill in the blanks on exactly what the Connor Toll House is. Just standing in there a few minutes ago, somebody said, you know, I never put the two words house and toll house together, right? We don't really normally think about, you know, whatever a toll house is. When I first found out this was going to be my project for the summer, I really didn't know what a toll house was. So, but in the past couple of weeks, I've become an overnight expert on Walden's Ridge, the Connors, and the Toll House. So I'm here to explain to you, yes, it's cute, but why is it called a toll house? And more than that, yes, it's cute, but what's its historical importance? Okay, the toll house, as best we can tell, is the oldest still standing structure on Walden Ridge. It was built in 1858 by J.C. Connor, who served, before he moved to Walden's Ridge, as Hamilton County Sheriff for 4 terms. His father-in-law operated the toll gate that ran along the old Corduroy Road, which was the only road from the Sequatchie Valley over into Chattanooga from about 1836 until J.C. Connor bought it from him in, 1857. Right before he moved up here to take it over. And it's interesting that the Connors moved to Walden's Ridge with their 8 children at the time so that they would be able to attend a real school. There weren't that many schools in Hamilton County at the time. So they moved up here, farmed, the kids went to school for a couple of years before the Civil War broke out, and then after the Civil War, the J.C. Connors ran the toll house. Okay? And the toll gate was right around the ridge. They moved the toll gate up here after the Civil War. The very first toll gate coming up the mountain was down at the head, or right at the top of what is now the W on the W Road. And the toll gate was either out there or out there. And it was a big picnic tree too at one time, and a huge metal post on the other side of the road. And the toll gate was just a large beam stretched across the road. There's an interesting story. There are lots of interesting stories about the toll house. But why is it called a toll house? I'm going to back up a little bit. You all know that in the 19th century, there weren't highway departments and public works departments and things like we know them now. So the deal with the toll and collecting the toll and the toll gate was that the family got the privilege of collecting the toll, also had the responsibility of keeping up the road, right? It was a private affair, a horrible job. But, okay, so that's point one of interest about the toll house. Point two, during the Civil War, the toll house was a point, the toll house was a point on the Union Army signal relay across Signal Mountain, because during the siege of Chattanooga after the Battle of Chickamauga, over Walden's Ridge was the only way that the Union could get any kind of supplies at all into Chattanooga, right, down this twisty, tortury kind of road. So the signal point, are you working there? I'll just yell more louder.
I have to keep the mic away, but wait a minute, somebody's telling me something.
Does it work now? Yeah. Okay.
Good, huh? Thank you.
Our hero.
So the house was a relay point on that Union route across into Chattanooga.
Still laughing.
Okay. All of the Connor males individuals who were of age at the time served primarily in the Confederate Army. One son, Alfred Connor, switched sides halfway through. That's an interesting story. So then after the Civil War, this area around the Toll House, which at the time, you know, there wasn't Taft Highway out here, it was a big stretch, a wide open stretch of rolling orchards and fields and everything, and it became a popular gathering spot, one of the early gathering spots. J.C. Connor's son, T.C. Connor, operated the Toll House after his father's death until 1890, when he sold the rights to collect the toll to a consortium of Chattanooga businessmen, right? Then T.C. Connor had to look for a new source of regular income, and he ran a hack service up and down what later became Signal Mountain, Walden's Ridge. And the hack service became more and more popular as more and more summer people started moving up the ridge, right? The T.C. Connors continued to live here in this house until, well, there was a Connor here. T.C. Connor's youngest daughter, Mary Esther Connor, lived here until her death in 1975. T.C. Connor, the last guy to remember running the toll house, died in 1938. Mary Esther lived here in this cabin until 1975, pretty much the way you see it now. She didn't have, like, inside water, inside plumbing, no electricity. She did get phone service in 1951, but, you know, she lived here pretty much the way her grandfather had lived in 1858 when he built the place. That's kind of the first and second life of the Toll House. After Mary Esther died in October 1975, Kay Gaston, who some of you may know, started to really spearhead the Walden's Ridge Historical Association. And the Walden's Ridge Historical Association got together and decided to save the Toll House from being torn down. And they restored it as a bicentennial project. It took them about 6 months to restore this in 1976, approximately the same amount of time it took the Connors to build it in 1858. During the 1970s and early 80s, the living history projects here at the Toll House were really, really active. They did demonstrations of spinning, weaving, soap making, candle making, all of those things. Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts did a lot of stuff here. And Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts and local volunteers also helped rebuild the Toll House. So now, since the Walden's Ridge Historical Association has disbanded, the Toll House is in its fourth stage of life, which is, it's in the hands of the Chattanooga Regional History Museum. And right now, we're in the kind of early stages of planning, trying to figure out what to do with the Toll House, and planning a permanent exhibit and some kind of schedule of use and stuff. So we have a timeline that situates the Toll House kind of in the context of both the history of Walden's Ridge and Civil War stuff, history of Chattanooga, the settlement of Summertown, kind of the march of progress over Walden's Ridge, inside for sale for 25 cents. So if you want a copy, pick up a copy. If anybody has any stories about the Toll House, or if you see anything on this guide as you look at it that needs correcting, any neat additions, any ideas for some things we might do with our permanent exhibit up here, please call me. My phone number is on here. So thank you very much.
So welcome to our back porch talk at the Connor Toll House. We have two wonderful speakers today. One is Edith Elberfeld, affectionately known on Walden's Ridge and around town as Edie. We're so delighted to have you here. She is sporting her Paris, Rome, London, and Signal Mountain t-shirt. Can all of you hear me? You can. Okay. As you know, Edie is a very spirited lady. For her 85th birthday, she went up in a hot air balloon. And she, of course, was greatly honored for her 41 wonderful years of service to the Chattanooga Public Schools with the 7th, 8th, and 9th graders, which I do admire. Our other speaker is Eleanor Willingham Powell, granddaughter of our beloved Miss Poindexter. Eleanor is herself a wonderful Bible teacher and a mama of five and many grandchildren, and has lived on Signal Mountain and in Summertown all of her life. So She has memories and family stories that go way back, as I know you all realize. We'd love our audience to tune in, too, if you have some stories you'd like to add, Bina, or whoever. All right, now I'm going to try to deal with this microphone and see if we can make it work over here. I'm sorry that Jean Catino couldn't join us today. After all, she just didn't feel like doing this at a wedding, and she's 92, so.
All right, now let's see what we can do here. Okay.
We're going to start with Edie. Edie, could you tell us how your parents happened to come to Walden's Ridge?
They came from Cincinnati, Ohio, but my mother came down before my father came, and my father followed my mother down afterwards. My mother and her mother came down in about 1880 the first time, because they wanted to see a relative of theirs, one of her sisters who was married, and they had come down to Chattanooga, her sister, Alice Hunneke, and Mr. Hunneke, and so my mother was about 5 years old, maybe six, somewhere along in there, and they fell in love with the mountain, she and her mother. They would come up and visit people up here. Then in 1894, my mother's father was killed in an elevator accident in Cincinnati, and she and her mother came down and stayed. And they got a place here on the mountain, room, place to stay with somebody, and I don't know just where that was. All this had to be told to me, of course.
Pete, excuse me just a minute.
Would you all like to pick your chairs up and move them up closer? Okay.
What if you pointed it out that way?
Oh, all right. Any suggestions? Let's turn it on. Yeah, that's good.
No. Turn it on this way, but hold that back.
Oh, okay. I see.
All right. Would anyone like to move her chair up? Please raise your hand if you can't hear.
I'll try and talk louder if you need.
Go ahead.
So in 1900, my father came down in October, and my mother and father married and moved to the mountain. they loved the mountain, and they handed that love of the mountain on to all of us. Just whereabouts up here they stayed, I don't know, but they spent their honeymoon up here. Then, of course, we went, or rather, they went where he was supposed to play ball, and he was playing first with Detroit and then with the New York Yankees. He was playing with the New York Yankees when my brother, the oldest one of us, in 1901, was born up here on the mountain. Then in 1903, my sister Nan was born on the mountain. And in 1905, I became a mountaineer. But the doctor said I couldn't live, that I would die within a month. So when my mother told my father that, he said, get that train and bring those children up here. He was playing with the New York Yankees. So up we went to New York. And we were up in New York then. Miriam was born in Suffern. Dottie was born on Manhattan Borough. And then he went to Washington. And in Washington, we lived in Maryland, out in the country. We weren't going to live in the city. Didn't like it. And out in Maryland, we loved that. It was really nice. But then the Lookouts got a team, and they had my father come down from Washington. And we came down here in about 1912. And he took over the Washington team. And so we all came down here. And again, we came to the mountain. We lived one summer in Chattanooga. And then we decided, no, it's a mountain for us. From then on, we always came to the mountain. We went to Little Rock. Of course, we lived there in Little Rock. So whenever we came over here, we came to the mountain.
Edie, would you tell us where you went to school?
My mother taught me at home until I went to school in the eighth grade. She taught all of us the Calvert school system. Taught my brother till he went to the ninth grade at Baylor, and taught my sister Nan till she went to the ninth grade at GPS. Taught me till I went to the eighth grade at McLaurin, Mississippi, outside of Camp Shelby, and I was the only one in the eighth grade. So then I went to college here, and I was it was the first, when I went to high school, though, first of all, in Little Rock. I had never stood up in a room and recited in my life until I did Little Rock. So they taught me how to do that as well as some other things.
Why did your mother happen to teach you at home on the mountain?
Because I had one school here, the Fairmount School, and I think it's a school that they've renovated, made look pretty good, but they only had one school and one teacher that taught from the first grade through the eighth grade. And my mother went to school up in Cincinnati, and my father did, and those schools up there were among the best in the country, and she said my children are not going to go to a one-room schoolhouse. So she taught us up here on the mountain all that time, and it was the Calvert school system that she followed. And they allowed you to, I think they allow it to be used now if you have good enough reason for it. But it's a wonderful school out of Baltimore, Maryland. Then, up here on the mountain, of course, as I said, we grew up, we learned to swim in the pond that is still there over on, it was to begin with, Signal Point Road. How many of you would know what it's called now? What?
James Boulevard.
James Boulevard is right. And there's a pond there. David Hedges lives in the White House on one side of the pond. The house I was born in on the other side of the pond burned down about 4 years after we sold and left. That's when we went to Little Rock and places like that, Mobile and so forth. But
did you move back up here in 1936?
1936, we came back. My father was with the Lookouts helping. Well, he was doing more what was the baseball schools. He was starting those. And we came back up here and said if we had to pitch a tent, we would come back to the mountain. We had stayed downtown somewhat in order to go to the university, and they didn't have all the transportation then that they have now. But
how'd you get up on the mountain then?
Drove up when we first came back to the mountain in 1912, we had a horse and buggy. And that's when my father got tired of the horse and buggy, and so he said, let's buy a car. I think it was a Buick they bought, but the man started to give him the keys. He said, don't give me those, I'm not going drive a car, and he never drove a car in his life. But my mother took the keys and up, and the man took her up the mountain. When he got to the top of the W, he said, "I don't know whether you know it or not, but you're the first woman that ever drove a car up this W." Plenty of them, I think, the horses and buggies up. So anyway, then, another time, I was in a T-model Ford, my father with me, and it went chug, chug, right as we started up the first steep place of the W, and he said, "What's wrong?" I said, "Hold everything, it'll be all right." I was past 16 by this time, and I backed up a little bit and then turned it around and started backing up the W. He said, "What are you doing? You're going to kill us." I said, "Just take it easy. The gasoline won't feed into the, from the tank to the..." So anyhow, into the engine, if I go up, and I should have gotten them some more gasoline. We had to have at least a half a tank if you had a T-model Ford. They didn't have those automatic pressure pumps to send the gasoline to the engine. So we got to the top all right, and he didn't get hurt, so that was okay. But the things that we did and the places we lived weren't nearly the kind that we had on the mountain. And for a long time, we owned the acreage in there. We learned to ice skate on the pond, and my father taught us to ice skate. He wouldn't get in the water, but he would skate on top of it. And then we also had, he made his first orchard, little orchard, planted the apple trees. And a man that came down from up in the east there, came down to help with the trees one year for him, and he came back and stayed all the time then because he liked the mountain and he liked Chattanooga. So there's a lot of history around Chattanooga, but there's a lot of what we liked most of all around was the atmosphere and the people. And we just hope that it stays, this mountain stays like it has been in the past, a place where people can come and live and visit and just have a real good time and not have to worry about everything. Of course, we worried anyhow. Is there any question someone would like to ask?
I've got a question, if I may. My memory may be playing tricks on me, but was it your sister that was assigned the pitch for the lookouts at one time?
No, they just had us do some things just to, I guess, bring, well, all the different things you do in advertising. So some of the things, and they had her go out and pitch a couple of innings or something like that, just mainly to get a little spirit going.
Which sister was that, you remember?
I don't. That was my sister Nan, I think.
What
That's
I did,
right.
She at an exhibition game here fan Babe Ruth and Lou Gehrig and one other. Now, was that on the level?
I don't know. I couldn't tell you.
Call me at the History Museum. I can tell you we have a video on it. Can't think of her name now.
Age has gotten me a little bit. I don't remember.
You know, we really have two programs here, Edie and her memories of Walden's Ridge, and Edie and her amazing life, her family.
Well,
are there any other questions?
When you were a young girl living on the mountain, when y'all first came, did you stay on the mountain in the wintertime at all?
We stayed on the mountain the year round. We grew the food. We had a garden. And we grew a lot of the food, did the canning.
Did you say came back in 1936?
We were back up, came back up on the mountain and stayed until the doctors told me I couldn't live by myself over there behind the store and the shopping center and all that. So, I said, "Well, I guess I'll go to town then." So I went down to St. Barnabas, and my niece and her husband, the Langleys, are up there now looking after things. No, the mountain is of all, I've been in all but 6 states of the United States, and I'll still take the mountain. Any other questions?
Ada, I heard you get a little bit something besides ice skate on that pond. I heard you swim in there.
Oh, we were taught to swim, but my mother taught us. She taught us how to swim the overhand strokes and the swim on your back and dive and all that. She did that, but my father didn't put his feet in the water.
Where is the pond now?
It's still there. I don't, the Wagners bought the land, and the house burned about 3 or 4 years after we left the mountain. And David Hedges lives at what was the farmhouse, but it's two-story, and he redid the whole thing over. It is a beautiful white house there now. But the other house was a two-story house, and we don't know why, I never did hear why, but it burned. But there's a lot of history on this mountain that people don't realize.
Could you tell them about the bears on the other side?
Oh, back when, where you have the Lexian brothers and the golf course and all that now, that was the, where they put the salt out and called it the salting ground for the cattle that were ran loose on the mountain. My mother was here on the mountain. She'd go down there and look because they had bears that came there.
Uh-huh.
I understand that the bears are coming back.
We have one up here about 10, 12 years.
That's what I heard. But she didn't. Just lots of times you go down there, you'd see a bear down there at the salting ground. And when I was teaching at North Chattanooga, particularly junior high school, I'd hike the kids from the school on Saturday. We'd hike up the dog hole. Is there anybody here that knows the dog hole? Anybody been up it? I took those kids up the dog hole. And
over Wilder Drive where the old water line comes in.
So
Wilder Drive.
Wilder Drive, and you went up through the rocks, and that's why we called it. That's the only way you got up over the bluff.
I don't think it was with the dog or a little kid.
I'll never forget the time I had some and had several girls along, and one of them, the boys were loitering along, and I went down to get them, and then they came, come on back up here, there, quick, hurry up. Mary Sue's up there, and she can't, it wasn't this Mary Sue here. But they said she's having a heart attack, we think. And I got up there and she's standing on this little mound and she was holding her heart and saying, oh, oh, oh. And I said, step down off there right now. And I don't mean maybe. I said, step down. She came down and she says, it quit. So then I said, get back up there. She got back, there it goes again. I bet you know what it was. What was the trouble? Was she having a heart attack?
No, I didn't hear the first part. I missed what
first
you...
part, she was standing on this sort of a little mound, and she feeling her heart and kept saying, oh my, I'm having a heart attack.
I don't know. The telephone line used to go up through there too, didn't it?
The what?
Would it have been electrical current?
No, that was a water line. They were pumping the water up.
Oh, they were saying,
yeah,
water line
goes on. And that thump, 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 she thought was her heart beating out for 5.
Thank you so much. Eleanor, will you share some of your remembrances?
Well, my remembrances are...
Would you like to stand up? Would that project a little more?
Would it be easier for me to stand up? My remembrances, I was born in 1936, so I was born the year she came back to Signal Mountain. But my grandmother and I lived with my grandmother because my grandfather died right after I was born, so I spent a great deal of time with my grandmother. So she told me a lot about Signal Mountain. Her mother, I made my notes because I left them at home. Her mother brought her 5 children and her paralyzed husband up to Signal Mountain in 1885. Grandmother was 7 years old, and she can remember that her mother put her paralyzed father, he had been a Civil War soldier. And after the Civil War, he had come down to Tennessee. He had floated logs down to Chattanooga, which was growing. And he had come on down and married my grandmother and started a livery stable. And he had cash because he had the livery stable, but he kept loaning money to his friends who had been soldiers and who were very poor. Well, they couldn't pay him back. And I guess the stress of the five children and all of that caused him to have a stroke, and so he became paralyzed. So my great-grandmother was afraid of the yellow fever that was in Chattanooga that summer, or the cholera, I can't remember which. And so she put her husband on the buckboard and her five children, and they came up Signal, and grandmother remembers having to get off and help push the cart up the corduroy road, because mm-hmm. you remember there were logs in the W. And so when the logs kept the cart from going backwards, but the kids had to help push the cart up. So they came up and they stayed in a boarding house, which was on Three Oaks. It was later the Vine Street Orphanage. It's on Wilson Road. It's right, in fact, my brother lives there right now. They called it Three Oaks. And the reason she came there is because Mabbitt Springs was right across the road, and they thought that the water there was good for people's health. So she brought the children and her husband up here and stayed there that summer. Well, she thought it was so healthy for my great-grandfather, and he did so well, that she decided to build a house up here. So she did, over in Summertown. And every summer she would bring her children up to Summertown, and they had a garden, and they grew their food, and they did everything. And my grandmother remembered that every day somebody had to go to the post office. Now, you all got to remember, I kept saying Signal Mountain to my grandmother, and she would look down her nose at me. There was no Signal Mountain when grandmother came up here. It was the ridge. It was Walden's Ridge. Until the day she died, she never said the word Signal Mountain because it was the ridge. So she would go up to the post office, and the post office was at the top of the W. And it was called Albion View. And so she would get on her pony and take the saddlebags, and she would drive to the post office. And at that time, the Friedenbergs owned the post office and the store. It was a dry goods store, grocery store. They made their own soap. They could remember making their soap, and then they would cut the soap out. But anyway, she would drive over there. Mrs. Friedenberg was the postmistress. And grandmother would pick up the mail and any groceries her mother needed, and then she'd come back, or anybody else in the neighborhood that needed to go. There were quite a few summer people that would come up from downtown, especially if they had bad health problems or something, they would come up. So grandmother would tell me about her trips there. One of her favorite places to play, and it was also Jean Cotino's favorite place, is called Rocky Dell. And if anybody knows Wilson Road, Rocky Dell is at the end of Wilson Road towards Anderson Pike. So it's a road. It's named Rocky Dell Road. And there were a lot of rocks over in there. And grandmother said she'd always get off her pony and go over there and climb the rocks and have a good time. They called it Rocky Dell. The children did back then. Grandmother was a great friend of Emma Miles, Emma Bell. The Bells lived where Martha McCoy lives now. And it was the Woodhead Farm before Mr. Bachman bought it. And Emma Bell's mother bought a piece of the property and built a two-story house there. And she was my grandmother's great friend. Another tale that grandmother loved to tell was how she would come up at Christmas time. She would get a horse and buggy, and her mother always made her find someone to come with her. And she would come up to bring Emma her Christmas present. And she told me of one Christmas when it started snowing. And she was up here and how much fun it was. Of course, grandmother thought everything was fun. But anyway, she used to tell me that story about how much fun it was. There were two types of people that were on Signal. When my mother was a child, there were a lot of people from Chattanooga who came up in the summertime and lived in Summertown, and then there were the native people. The people that lived in Summertown, Jean Cotino says, they had lots of house parties, and they were the people from town. And of course, that's when the hack was doing so well. And the hack was driven by Mr. Hartman, Nat Hartman, and they called him Hootie Tootie Hartman. And the reason they did was because he had a horn. And when he drove through Summertown, he would toot his horn so that all the men would know to come out and get on the hack so they could drive to town. And that's the hack that Emma Miles also went down to Chattanooga. When grandmother first came up, you didn't go to town. They when they came up, they stayed up. And Jean Catino says that they went to town maybe at Christmas time if they were lucky. And I said, well, did you have to push the cart when you started back up the mountain? She said, I never remembered because I was always asleep when she came back. But grandmother never went to town once they came up, and that's why they started the Little Brown Church, is because they couldn't get to town. So the summer people built the Little Brown Church. And I know that Mrs. Williams, Joe B. Williams,